1169 in the Church Bible. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth, not sinful Gentiles, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Shall we pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have made us your precious children. You long to speak to us. You long to teach us. You long for us to know you and to enjoy you and to learn from you. So, Father, would you please do as we've sung a moment ago? Please send your Holy Spirit to us now. May he teach us. May he encourage us. Correct us where we need that. As we come to this bit of your word in the book of Galatians, we pray that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ clearly, and that we would give him worship and praise. Amen. When was the last time that you were present and when someone else was being told off? Perhaps it was at work, or maybe just simply you were out and about on the high street and someone else, you could hear someone else getting told off. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? I remember a while back being at the playground with the kids and hearing another parent, you know, giving their child a real dressing down. It's awkward, isn't it? In those moments, you just want to disappear. Now, imagine being a member of the church in Antioch. Years and years ago, in the passage that we just read, a really uncomfortable moment. Imagine being in the presence of the Rock. Okay, so that was Peter's new name, remember, long before Dwayne Johnson landed with the nickname The Rock. That was Peter's name. Jesus Christ had given that name to his friend. Peter was an apostle. He was sent by God the Son. He was a pillar of the church. The risen Jesus had given him this job of looking after his flock, his growing church. And yet here he is, very publicly, very uncomfortably, I'd imagine, being told off by another apostle, by the apostle Paul. There's a clash of the titans. What had Peter the Apostle done wrong? Well, he was being a hypocrite. Meaning, he had heard and he had believed the good news of Jesus. which we call the gospel. He believed it, and he understood it, and he now had these convictions, and he knew that it should affect the way that he treated others. But under pressure from others, he masked those convictions, hid those convictions. And the effect of that was, despite what he believed, and despite what he would say, in practice, he wasn't acting in line with the gospel. He was living a lie, in effect. Now, many of us can probably relate to Peter, I think. We may believe something strongly and hold on to it tightly, but depending on who we're with, we can mask it and we can keep it hidden. And yet, the encouragement for all of us today as God's people is to act in line with the gospel. If the good news of Jesus is true, if it's true that Jesus sacrificed his life to rescue us, if it's true that Jesus offers us free forgiveness for our sin by his generous grace alone, if it's true that we receive that grace, not by earning it or working for it, but simply through faith. And if it's true that this good news, this gospel is for everyone, anyone who wants it, if that's true, it should change the way that we treat other people. We must act accordingly. We must act, as Paul says in this passage, in line with the gospel. So we have three headings this morning to help us just as we work our way through the passage. And the first one is that the truth of the gospel unites. The truth of the gospel unites. And that's in verses 11 to 14. Let's read those verses again. When Cephas, that's Peter, remember? Cephas and Peter are the same person. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? So previously, before this event, Peter had meals with Gentiles. Gentiles in the Bible just means people who aren't Jewish. And so that was quite an unusual thing for a Jewish person to do, because the Jewish people viewed those who weren't Jewish as unclean. You don't just sit down and have a meal with these people. But Peter shared a table with them because they shared Christ. They shared things in common because they shared Jesus in common. But then when those who belonged to the circumcision group appeared, those who preach that you must follow the laws of Moses to be saved, Peter separated himself from those people, from the Gentiles. He wouldn't eat with them anymore. Really, he was afraid of the other Jews. He bowed to peer pressure despite his convictions. Now notice the strength of Paul's words. I opposed him to his face. He stood condemned. Verse 11. And verse 13. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. Verse 14 says, I said to Cephas in front of them all. It's quite confrontational, isn't it? It's quite tense. Now, this isn't a conversation like, oh, you've sinned against me, or you've sinned against someone else. So let's just go over here and we'll talk about it. Let's have a quiet, private word. This is different because in this situation, the truth of the gospel is at stake. And so it needed to be dealt with publicly, and it needed to be dealt with clearly. Look at verse 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the gospel, that is the key issue here. They are not acting in line with the gospel. Now, I read that the Greek word translated in line is ortho, which means in line or straight or correct. So you go to the orthodontist, don't you, to get your teeth straightened or your teeth corrected, get your teeth in line. We call theology that is historical and straight and narrow and you know, not veering off this way and that way. We call that orthodoxy, ortho, straight. You might be able to think of others that I've forgotten. Maybe we can talk about that after. So Peter, the problem is he's not acting straight. He's not acting correct. He's not acting in line with what is true about the gospel. If the gospel is true, then this should follow. This should follow. It should be a straight line. We can read in the book of Acts that Peter had these amazing visions from the Lord, explaining that he was not to reject someone simply because they were a Gentile, because they were different from him. He mustn't treat them as dirty or unclean anymore. If someone believes the gospel and thus becomes a follower of Jesus, then they were his brother. They were his sister. And Peter knew this. He knew this and he believed it. And yet, still he separated himself from them. And so he wasn't living in line with the gospel, with the truth of the gospel, because the truth of the gospel unites us and brings us together under Jesus, whether we're Jew or Gentile, or actually wherever we're from. This is perhaps an important thing. It is. It's an important thing for us to consider on our own. Are there people in our lives, maybe fellow members of the church here or fellow Christians elsewhere, who, even though we are united in the gospel and we know that we are united in Christ, we're still kind of tempted to keep our distance from those people? These are people with whom we share this unbreakable bond, the gospel, and yet we separate ourselves from them because we feel, oh, they're too different from me. It might be their background, or it might be their race, or it might be their skin color. It could be a host of different reasons. We might not view them as unclean, but we wouldn't eat with them. Wouldn't have them in our home. The truth of the gospel unites us. No one is unclean. We share a Savior. We share Jesus. We are all clean. We are all accepted on the same basis. And so to separate ourselves from others is to not act in line with the gospel, because the truth of the gospel unites us. Secondly, the truth of the gospel justifies. So the truth of the gospel unites, the truth of the gospel justifies. That's verses 15 to 18. Let's read verses 15 and 16. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. So imagine sinful there is in air quotes if it's helpful. That's Paul's tone. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Paul is saying to Peter, look, Peter, we both know what makes us right with God. It's not keeping the laws in the Old Testament. It's putting our faith in Jesus. That's what justifies us. Now, it's the first time in the letter, it's the first time in Galatians that Paul has used that word, justified. Now, to be justified means the opposite of condemned. It's a legal term. So to help us, we need to picture a courtroom. Can you do that? Can you picture a courtroom? And maybe even picture yourself or picture me. Picture us in the dock. Picture the judge in front of us with their grey wig and with their black robes and with their hammer, their gavel, raised in their hand. Maybe picture yourself in God's courtroom. Because the Bible says that God made us and that he is our ultimate judge. And the question isn't, well, do my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds? You know, what will the judge say? That's not, you won't find that in the Bible. The question is, for all of us, am I guilty of rejecting the God who made me and loves me? Am I guilty of turning my back on him and failing to give him the love and the worship that he deserves? The answer for all of us is yes, we are guilty. And yet, wonderfully, because Jesus took the punishment that we deserve on the cross, when he died on the cross, if we turn around and believe in Jesus, the judge brings his hammer down and says, you are not guilty. I declare that you are righteous. I declare that you are innocent. Isn't that amazing? Even after all that we've done, we are not condemned. We are, what the Bible says, we are justified. Paul reminds Peter, reminds us, that we are justified through faith in Jesus and only through faith in Jesus. Not because we're good people, because we're not. Only faith in Jesus. Isn't God amazing? Isn't he so generous and so gracious that he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but just offers us forgiveness purely by his grace, purely because he loves. Verse 17 and 18 are quite hard to follow. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, the Gentiles, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. What is Paul saying here? Now, it's possible that in verse 17, Paul is addressing an objection of the circumcision group. You know, this group that had appeared on the scene and said, no, you need to be circumcised, become properly Jewish. You know, you've got to follow all the laws in the Old Testament if you want to be right with God. So maybe he's addressing an objection of theirs. Basically, they're saying, you say you're justified in Christ and you're among sinners. You know, you're eating with Gentiles, with outsiders. You're basically saying that Jesus is okay with sin. Obviously not true. And Paul says in response to that in verse 18, if I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. Now elsewhere in Ephesians 2, Paul talks about how something that the gospel does is that it destroys this wall between Jews and Gentiles. This dividing wall, the gospel destroys that wall and instead unites Jews and Gentiles. So there's no division now. There's no wall. That wall has been brought crumbling down. It's been destroyed. So Paul is saying in verse 18, if I was to rebuild that wall, what I destroyed, that divide between Jews and Gentiles, if that wall was still standing, then yes, we would be in the wrong. I would be a lawbreaker. But no, the gospel has destroyed that wall. Jew and Gentile are now both clean, both accepted, able to eat together and live together in unity. Why? Because in the gospel we have, all of us, been justified. All of us declared righteous. Whoever we are, Jew or Gentile, wherever we're from, whoever we are, God has declared that we are righteous in his sight through Jesus. Hallelujah, indeed. Perhaps, though, you feel guilt over your past mistake. And the sin that you committed in the past, it weighs heavily on you and it always comes back to you, thinking about the past. Perhaps even now, even today, you fear being condemned, coming before God the judge, and we fear hearing those words, "No, you are condemned." Remember this morning, that even though we are unworthy, even though we are not good enough, because of Jesus and because he is good enough, you have been justified. And so it's not merely that when you die one day and you stand before God that you will be justified then. That is true. Wonderfully, if you belong to Jesus, you are justified now. You are justified this morning. Righteous now. Praise God. The truth of the gospel justified. Lastly, truth of the gospel justifies, and the truth of the gospel brings new life. Let's read that last section from verse 19. "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, but if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Again, verse 19 is a bit difficult to follow. This will happen a lot in Galatians. But when we look at verse 20 and we take what Paul writes elsewhere, it does help us make sense of it a bit. Because all those years ago when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't only Jesus who died on the cross. Paul says elsewhere that the law, God's law, which stood against us, God's law that proved that we were sinners, God's law which condemned us, in a spiritual way, that too, the law has been taken away and nailed to the cross as well. So Jesus was nailed to the cross, the law was nailed to the cross, even we. In a spiritual way, even we were nailed to the cross with Jesus. So there is a real sense in that if you are a follower of Jesus today, the person who you used to be is dead. They're gone now. And now you are a new person with Christ himself living in you. Verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The truth of the gospel brings new life, so that when we put our faith in Jesus, the old me is dead and gone. And I have a new life now. The risen Jesus lives inside me. And why? Paul's words here are the gospel in a nutshell. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Perhaps this is new to you. Perhaps this is completely new to you. Or maybe you're a little bit skeptical. But this gospel, the Bible says, this good news is for you. The Son of God loves you. The Son of God gave himself for you. Peter and the Jewish and Gentile Christians around him, they needed to be reminded that, look, the old them, the old you is gone, crucified with Jesus. And though these people, the Jews and the Gentiles, held each other at arm's length, now they are one. All because we've received the grace of God, his free, generous gift of forgiveness. Paul says in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't take it and get rid of it. I don't set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. What Peter's actions and those around him amounted to was effectively setting aside the grace of God. So let us not forget or ignore or set aside this truth. God accepts us not because of our efforts. And if you're a Christian today, it's not because of your efforts or because you're doing well in this particular season. It's not because we're growing as a Christian or not, but because we are in Christ. So don't be discouraged if you think that you're not doing well or you don't think you're growing as a Christian and you look back and you think, oh, am I growing? Instead, be encouraged that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do not set aside the grace of God. And let us all of us, act in line with the truth of the gospel. If we are in Christ, we are united, we are justified, and we have new life. Can we take a moment just to pause and maybe to pray quietly on our own before we sing our final song together?